Welcome to the fifth sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Family of God. Today's sermon title, Adoption. Open your Bible to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, and let's begin.
Church, would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the incredible privilege that we have here. And this time in world history, in this place, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can just sing freely, and Lord, we can be bold with our lives and our commitment to you. And now, Lord, we pray this morning that you would just remind us of your incredible commitment to us. And Father, we pray that we could have a sense of the privilege it is to be called your sons and daughters. And Father, I pray we could just leave here knowing that we are special to you, not because we're something special, but because you have chosen to love us and to bring us into your family. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray that it would give us a new perspective in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' good name, amen. It's good to be with you this morning, church. We had a meeting with the mayor of North Ridgeville, just continuing to finalize purchasing the land over there on Archer Road. So the meeting went great. Everything is on track. Just continuing to get all the paperwork done and all the, you know, fine details and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to take another couple months for all this paperwork to go through the city council and things like that. But the good news is everything's still right on track. God is good. It seems like everybody's excited about this. So let's just give God a round of applause for working that out. And I know many of you have been kind of asking where that's at. So that's where it's at. So we're still just kind of got to wait for it to be finalized. But there should not be any issues with that. So, well, today we're going to continue the sermon series called The Family of God. And we started that a couple weeks ago and are going to continue it today. And in The Family of God, we've been looking at what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ and what it means to be invited into his family and all the privileges and responsibilities and blessings that come with it. And as I was thinking about it, I don't know about your family, but it seems like in every family, there's at least one distant relative who's either rich or famous. Is that kind of a fair assumption to make? Like, there's always one person that you're like, you know, my second cousin's third daughter is a senator. Or maybe not. You guys are being very quiet this morning. But in my family, there was kind of one distant, he was a great uncle of mine. Still is, I guess, a great uncle. And he kind of, everyone knew in the family that he had done very well for himself, and people would talk about him, you know, and he was very successful in business, and he lived several hours away. So growing up, I never really met him, never interacted with him, but I would hear these stories, and I thought, man, it'd be kind of cool if maybe he would adopt me, because it sounds like he's got a lot. And I wasn't discontent with my own family. I'm just a bit of an opportunist, you know what I'm saying? and so I thought, I hear all these stories, and I thought, man, that would be cool. Well, finally, the day came where we were actually going to go to a family event at his house, and I was going to kind of get to meet him and get to see his place, and we came to his place, and it was very, very nice. I mean, it was just kind of what stories I had heard and what I expected, and he had an indoor pool at his house. So I mean, this is serious stuff. I was like 10 years old. This is game changer. And so me and my cousins, we started playing in the pool, and then some of his other family that were a little closer, they're like, "Hey guys, do you not see the signs?" I'm like, "What signs are you talking about?" And around the pool, he had these little tables with signs that said "No splashing." And I thought, "Who is this man? You're going to have this beautiful pool and then just try and put shackles on us?" Because, I mean, we were cannonball. He had these nice rafts. We were just destroying them. 10-year-old Chet was a bit destructive. I'm not going to lie to you. And so were all my other cousins. So eventually we got yelled at. And we couldn't have fun in the pool. But I thought, you know, he's still got a pool. It still might be a good deal. And then we started playing on his pool table, you know, playing some billiards. And that looked fun. We started playing that. And then guess what? You're too young to play on that table. You're going to scratch it up. Like, now I'm going to do it on purpose. Because what's the point of having all this good stuff? So we got kicked out of that room. And we found he had a nice gym at his house. And we weren't into working out, but the lap pull-down machine looked fun to hang on and stuff like that. So we began to just mess around in there. And guess what, church? We got kicked out of there too. And after all that, I still was a bit optimistic. And so I said, hey, you know, maybe we can work on the rule systems around here. But would you be interested in adopting me? And, you know, we'll figure out all this other pool rules and such later on. And he said no. And he was pretty firm in that. And I didn't really mean it because I was like, this dude doesn't know how to have fun, obviously. But it was one of those things that, you know, when you're younger, it's funny how perspective changes. And I realize that now that obviously, man, the family that I have is far better than any other family I could have been in. That God knew exactly what he was doing, and the lessons and the values that my parents taught me and the opportunities and these experiences are infinitely better than he could have ever given me. But sometimes in life, when you're so focused on the next thing, it's hard to have perspective on the blessings that you actually have right now. You with me on this? Sometimes it seems like in life we're always in that mode where we think we'll be happy when we get the next thing. We'll be happy when we find that next blessing, or we're in that new season of life, or we have the new job or the new place to live, or, you know, this kind of period of our life is over and a new one's beginning. We're always looking for the next blessing. And not all that's bad, but sometimes it can stop us from seeing and appreciating the amazing things that are right in front of us. You with me on this, church? And so today I want to talk about that, because the great apostle Paul, he is speaking to people like us and he's saying, hey, I want you to know that you are now in the family of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't care how rich your great uncle is, you are in an incredible place right now. And the family that you're in is a place of incredible blessing and meaning. And Paul wants us to see this beautiful reality right in front of us. And so he talks about this in Ephesians chapter 1. That's page 976 in the Bibles around you if you want to read along. But here's what he says. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Just notice that phrase. Not with some spiritual blessings, not with a couple here and there, but with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons. We're actually adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, there's a lot of content there and a lot of ideas and some big theological terms, but we're going to talk through this a little bit. But the big idea I want you to see today is that as people who are part of God's family, we don't have to live for blessing. What I mean by that is you don't have to live with this attitude and mindset that you're missing out on something. That the thing you really want is right around the corner, just outside of your grasp. But we can live from a much more powerful place than that. We can live from blessing. We can live as people who understand our relationship to God and what God has invited us into in his family and realize we have everything that we could ever want or need right now. This makes sense, church? It's living from blessing. And when we live from blessing, it changes our perspective on God, our perspective on ourself, and the choices and decisions that we make in our lives. You with me on this? Is anyone alive today? Was Starbucks closed this morning? Or, because I'm going to need a little more energy out of you this morning. Can I get some of that? I mean, it's sunny out. I know it's cold. And it makes you want to hibernate, but just be alive with me today. We're going to live from blessing. Does that sound good? Can I get a good Southern amen on that? Amen. You got to realize, church, that's never going to get old to me. Allie always says that Beatler men, they tell the same jokes over and over again. It started with my grandfather, my dad did that, and now it's gone to me. Anyway, so we're going to talk about three aspects of this. The first one is the disposition of God. Because all understanding of blessing, it starts with understanding something about who God is. And Paul talks about this. Then we're going to talk about these blessings that he says he's blessed us with, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. We're going to talk through that. And then lastly, how we can engage with that a little bit more deeply in our own lives, so it becomes something that feels real and feels significant and matters to us. So the disposition of God, the blessings of God, and the blessed life. Let's talk about the disposition of God first. If you notice in that first verse, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how he starts this. And when you read that, I used to always read it this way, like bless God as a verb. Say thank you to God. That's how I always read that when I would read through it. But someone pointed out to me that that's not really the proper way to understand it. But it's really him saying God is blessed. He's describing something about God. He's saying this is the disposition of God. This is the nature of God, that God is blessed. Now, that's a word, we really primarily use in church, and it's kind of a harder word to define, but it's really a word that means happy, content, having a deep sense of well-being. That's what it really means. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, first, I want you to know something about God. He is blessed. That's who he is. He likes being God. He enjoys the work that he does. He has well-being. And I think that's a cool way to think about God. Because I think many times God has not always been represented as that. We've all probably maybe had people or grown up in places where God did not, his disposition did not seem blessed. He seemed like he had a really bad temper. And now kind of God is more like, he's not blessed. He's, don't tick him off, man. Don't. He'll get you. He'll get you, you dirty little sinner. And I think many times people show his disposition that way. He's not the blessed God, but he's the God that gets ticked off really easily, which then makes you not really motivated to be in a relationship with him, right? People that I know in life have a quick temper. I'm just like, I'm not going to hang out with you because I don't want to get punched or spit on or whatever. And Paul says, no, that's not God. God's blessed. He's not constantly frustrated. I think sometimes we look at people's lives and just think, oh man, God must be so frustrated. He's not going to allow his well-being to be stolen by humanity's stupidity. He's much deeper than that, right? Your stupidity, I'm sure he's probably like, yeah, what an idiot. But he's not going to lose his well-being over it. He's God. He's got a depth of character we could not imagine. But at the core of it is this disposition of blessing. Of I enjoy being God. And God relates to the world and relates to you and me from that core. That's the primary core that he relates to us from, is that place of blessing. And so Paul says, look, God is blessed. He's happy. He's content. He's got a slow temper. It can get there, but it takes a long time and it takes a lot. But he says, but from this core, he wants to pour blessing into your life. You with me on this, church? And so let's talk about that. The blessings of God that Paul lists in this section. He first talks about, he says, God's blessed. And so he relates to us from this heart, from this standpoint. And he says the first thing that he did is he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So here's God. He's full of this sense of blessing. And from that place, he looks at your life and he looks at my life. And he says, I want to give you all of what I have been living in and experiencing. Isn't that a cool thought? I want to pour all of that, every spiritual blessing, all of them that I have to give, I am going to give to you. And Paul says, amen. Paul says he does it. And what's amazing about that is I think in life, many times, we feel like we've missed blessings. That I think if we're honest, there's many times where we feel like maybe God has held back things from us. When I was growing up, my brother is 6'4", real tall. And he was like 6'4" in eighth grade. Really was. And he's fast. He is incredibly fast. And it's rare to find someone that is that big and can run a 40 in like 4-something. This guy, he had the potential to be an amazing athlete. But you will not find someone who hates sports more than he does. And so growing up, I always thought, man, I hope I get that height. I hope I get that speed. And if you're wondering, he got the lion's share of that. All that, I just got the good looks, the sense of humor, the intelligence. hey, God bless you, man. There are God's people are in the house today. The humility, all those things, but he got the height and speed. Don't look so confused at that, church. But I felt like maybe I missed out a little bit. And when we look at our lives, it's so easy to have that perspective, to think about all the things that God hasn't given us, or maybe we felt like he should give us, and he didn't. But Paul's saying, I want you to see a different perspective, that he has actually given you all the spiritual blessings. Now, of course, the key word there is they're spiritual. They're not always material. It's not always the things that we can see and touch, but Paul would say these spiritual blessings are actually infinitely more important and infinitely better. And sometimes on our side of heaven, it's hard to have that perspective. But in the long run, we will see that he has given us his absolute best. And so then Paul begins to explain him. He says he's given us all these spiritual blessings. And he says, first, he chose us before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is a powerful, powerful statement. It's saying that God has been thinking about your life before he even created the world. That's how much you matter to him. And he said he thought about you and he chose you, and he chose you to become something. This is the blessing of becoming. He said, I am choosing you and I'm going to pour my life, my love, and my blessings in your life so that you would grow to become a person that is holy and blameless. Now, holy and blameless are these ideas of being someone who is transformed in their character. That's the holiness side, that he makes us people that are pure in our motivations and our thoughts and how we think about other people and relate to God. And then blameless is about our actions, about how we live. And Paul says he's chosen you and he wants to bless you to become a person that looks like him, that lives like him, that treats people like him. And Paul said, really, really, there's no greater blessing than God choosing and longing to do that in your life. And Paul said, before the foundation of the world, he's been thinking about your life. He's been planning your life. He's been strategizing to pour out blessing to you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The blessing, it always starts with God. It always starts with his work. And we get to receive it. And then Paul says, and not only has he given you a blessing of belonging or a becoming, but he also wants to give you a blessing of belonging. And he says, so he's predestined you to be adopted into his family as sons or daughters. I know in our world, you know, we kind of use this idea of being God's child in a very haphazard way. You know, we say, we're all children of God, and why can't we just get along or whatever you tag on the end of that? But in the scriptures, the Bible actually says we're not born into God's family. We're not born. We're actually born separated from God. And we're born outside of his family. And we don't deserve to be in his family. And there's nothing we can do to clean up our lives to belong in his family. But it says instead, God does something for us. He adopts us. He goes into the orphanage and he picks you up. Not because you have great potential and because he says, man, you're going to be an amazing draft pick for me. But he goes in, he says, because you're broken and you're in need and I'm going to love you and make you my own. And Paul says he has decided a long time before to do this. He's not looking at your life and saying, all right, should I adopt this one? Let me kind of look at their stats here. They did pretty good in school. They're terrible at relationships. Pretty bad with their money, but they're a hard worker. I give them about a C+. No, he said, before anything, he looked at you and said, you're going to be part of my family. You don't deserve it. You can't become worthy of it, but I'm just going to adopt you. And when you become part of God's family, you get all the blessing of his family. You get access to him. That's why we can just pray honestly to God, because we're talking to our dad. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to get all fancy. We don't have to, you know, try and state our case. We can just talk to him knowing that he loves us completely and wants to help us and meet us in our time of need. Just like a good dad will do whatever they can for their kids. Right, church? He says, it's because you're adopted. You're adopted into his family. So Paul says, these are the blessings that we can live from. And Paul says, when we begin to see ourselves from that standpoint, it becomes a whole new identity in our lives to grab hold of. We are children of God. We are his sons and daughters. And that's not a point to become real arrogant about, because then we're missing the whole point, but it is a point to find a deep sense of security and well-being. And when you look at these verses and you see God chose us and God predestined, you might think, well, how do I know if God chose me for this or predestined me for this? And here's the real simple answer. Do you want him to? Like, do you want to be in his family? Do you see the need for that? Do you feel like you don't want to do life apart from him? And do you see Christ as precious and important? Because remember, all of these blessings are in Christ. That's how they come. That means that only through our connection and our commitment to Christ do we experience the full blessings of God. And so if you want that, then that's evidence that he's already been thinking about this for a long time. You with me on that, church? If you want that, then it's yours. Because that's evidence that Christ has already been working all this time to prepare you to be in his family. With me on this? So those are some of the blessings. And if you read the rest of the chapter, there's a lot more. We don't have time to go through it. And then let's just talk about the blessed life. So I want to make this a little bit practical here and talk about how we can live from this sense of blessing in our lives. Because I think it's really, really powerful. When you begin to see yourself as a son and daughter of God, life looks different. When you feel like you are alienated at God or God is against you, it's a terrible frame of mind to be in. And Paul says, I want you to know, you don't have to live from that place. You can live from blessing. Now, you might look at Paul and you might say, well, Paul, that's so easy for you to say. You're probably on a Mediterranean cruise right now. You're probably drinking Mai Tais and having lobster every night. And so for you to talk about this makes sense. But you don't know what's happening in my life. But here's what I want you to know, and some of you may know this. Paul is writing this letter not from Royal Caribbean, but from prison. He's not in a great spot right now. No one would look at his life and say, Paul, you have been blessed with every blessing that God has in your prison cell. That you were really unjustly put in anyway. But Paul says, I have a different perspective. I have every blessing, even in this cell. Even in this cell, I can say, the Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. And I have everything. I have everything. Even though they've even taken away my freedom, I still have everything. In Christ. That's living from blessing, church. He's not saying, I'll be blessed when I get out of jail. I'll be blessed once this justice system gets set right and all these Roman prison reforms are made. But he says, no, I'm living from it right now, whether things change or not. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's living from blessing. So how can we nurture that in our life? Let me just give you three quick ideas. Is one, I think we need to practice giving more credit to God for all the good stuff in our lives. Because what happens, I see so many times, is people don't drift from God when life is really tough. I see that far less. They drift from him when life is good. Why? Because they forget the source. They forget that every good gift is not because I deserve it, but it's come down from above, from the Father of lights. And when I remember that, it keeps my soul healthy. It keeps me from giving myself too much credit and God not enough. And so when things are going well, and I hope they're going good for you, and I hope you have plenty of times where life is going great, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to be very intentional about the credit that you give in those times, and most importantly, who you give it to. I want the highs in life to be a moment where you get on your knees and you say, thank you, God. I didn't deserve that. But I appreciate it. And I see you as the source of that. Give God credit. Here's the second thing. I think we need to choose our attitude wisely in life. This is something I've been thinking a lot about for myself. I think when life is just going on and we have the obstacles and the struggles that we all face, I wanna live with an attitude of expectation. What do I mean by that? I mean, I want to live expecting, believing that God is my Father. And he's going to help me. And whatever I'm facing, I'm not facing it alone. And I want to go with the attitude where I'm looking for God to show up. And I'm trusting that if I've asked for his help, help is on the way. And that he will guide me and he will lead me and he will meet me if I listen to him. You with me on this, church? It's an attitude of expectation. I'm not going to have an attitude that I'm estranged from God. I'm part of his family now. He's adopted me. Maybe he should have thought about that twice, but it's too late. The deal's done. I'm in. I'm a clinger. I'm hard to get rid of. And I'm going to keep trusting in his grace. And also an attitude of resilience. Sometimes I'm disgusted with my level of faith. Things don't go the way I think they should, and immediately I begin to doubt God. I know I shouldn't because I'm a pastor. But sometimes I'm like, dude, this is embarrassing. And I think it's even more than that, insulting. Because I know how good God has been to me. I do have an awareness of that and a growing awareness of that. And I want to have an attitude of resilience. When even the tough, when the real tough times come and it looks like, man, the blessings of God are nowhere to be found. I want my trust in God to be really, really hard to shake. You know what I'm saying? I want when the train of pain and tragedy run me over, I don't want to give my faith up easily. I want to be the kind of person that's going to say, it's going to take more than that to make me question that I'm still his son. It's going to take more than that to make me doubt his goodness. It's going to take more than that to make me take a step back from him. You know, in fact, while we're here, I'm just going to go ahead and take a step forward to trust him more. Maybe to worship him in the pain. I want an attitude of resilience in my life because I'm his son and you're his son and you're his daughter. And then lastly, I want to habitually surrender to God in all the areas of my life and at all the times of my life. I was thinking about this week. Twice Paul says that God's plan for your life goes way, way back before the foundation of the world. He's been thinking about your life that long. And then I think about all the plans that I have that I try to convince God are great plans. Like, God, you should do this. God, why aren't you doing this? This is an amazing plan. I thought through it for 15 minutes. And God's like, dude, I've been making plans before the creation of the world about you. Whose plan do you think is better? Whose is more thought through? Who's got a bigger perspective? And so many times, I don't know if you're like this, church, but so many times there is this inner struggle in my life over this whole issue of surrender. I want God to listen to me instead of saying, God, what do you want to do? What is your purpose? What is your plan? What have you been working on that I can partner with you in? And what I find is there is an incredible freedom every time in my life where I surrender to him. Those are the best times. I'm very thick-headed. I don't know why it is so hard for me to come to that place again and again, why I can't just kind of surrender once and then I'm good for the rest of my life. I haven't been able to figure out how to do that. So I need to do it habitually. Again and again, God, I surrender. But what's your purpose? What's your plan, God? What's your plan? That's what I want to be about. God, my plan is probably not that great anyway. Your plan, you've thought about it longer. What is it? How can I partner with you? I want to be about that. Show me, guide me, lead me. And if you really want to know God's direction for your life, he'll give it to you. I think many times we say, God, what should we do? But then we're like, but don't really tell me because I don't actually want to know because I got my plan. Surrender is when you say you really want to know. And in your heart, you're like, God, what you say, I will do because you are a good father. And every time I followed your plan, it's been a lot better than mine in hindsight. habitual surrender. Church, we have a place of blessing to live from. God is so good. And he's got more and more for us if we would just open our hearts to him in deeper and deeper ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that your plans are good, that your purpose will glorify your name above all. But Lord, it's also a purpose that will be for my good, so I know I can trust it. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today that if we're not in your family, if we haven't committed our lives to Christ and just said, you know, I'm in. I want to follow Christ. I pray today, Lord, we could experience that. We could experience the blessings of adoption. And we could have the sense of your spirit just at work in us, bearing witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, your sons and daughters. Father, some of us today need to know we are not alone. You haven't gone anywhere. You're right there in the thick of it with us. And you will not abandon us or forsake us. Father, I pray today that we could just live with that sense of freedom and peace that comes from knowing the blessings that Christ has for us. I pray it could set us free today. Free from our own ego running the show. Free from some of our worry and fear. And free to love you in a deeper way. And I ask all this in the good name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.